Well, good morning. Welcome to Faith Bridge. We're so glad you've chosen to worship with us today, whether you're here in the live service, in our communion service, or coming to us online. It's great to be with you today. You know, in my mind, it seems like the 4th of July was just yesterday, but here in about a week, Christmas is upon us, and I'm sure all of us are neck deep into the typical festivities. There's the baking and the shopping and the parties. And of course, that time-honored tradition of gathering around the television set as a family to watch Christmas movies. What would Christmas be without Ralphie reminding us, you know, you'll shoot your eye out, kid. Or Buddy reminding us about the four basic food groups, candy cane, syrup, candy corns, and candy. And then many of us, of course, love little Zuzu Bailey telling us about how every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. I've never seen that in the Bible, but she was pretty sincere about it. But my personal favorite, of course, is Cousin Eddie letting us know, Clark, it's the gift that keeps giving all year round. Well, today I want to talk to you about a gift that really does keep giving and giving and giving. And thank goodness that it does, because we are always in need of it. We need to receive it, and we need an infinite supply to give away. What I'm talking about is the gift of forgiveness. One of the most beautiful gifts that Jesus brought when he came into this world. Now, perhaps you've never necessarily connected the Christmas story and forgiveness in your minds. I can't recall hearing too many Christmas sermons about forgiveness. But in fact, I don't know of many things that are more related to Christmas than the reality of forgiveness. Because you see, the baby whose birth we will celebrate in just about a week would grow up to be a man. And on the last night of his earthly life, he would gather his disciples together and say, "My blood is going to be shed for you and for many." Why? For the forgiveness of sin. That's why in Ephesians, Paul would remind us to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving just as God has forgiven you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is all about forgiveness. Therefore, Christmas is all about forgiveness. It's foundational to our faith. It's central to our faith. I don't know that anyone would necessarily argue that point. But today I want to get past the theology and get down to practicalities. I want to talk to us about how we can make forgiveness operative in our lives. About how we can take that gift out from underneath the tree, open it up, and actually begin to use it in our lives. And it's imperative that we do begin to use it. Because forgiveness is the essential dynamic to relationships. Without forgiveness, relationships would not be possible. Not with God, not with one another. Because we are sinful people. We don't just do sinful things. No, we are sinful. And we hurt each other and we offend each other and we sin against God on a very regular basis. And the only way we're going to keep this thing going, these relationships going with each other and with God, is through the reality of forgiveness, receiving it and giving it away. The only other option is cancel culture. Cancel culture. You offend me, you hurt me, you make me mad, I don't forgive you. Cancel you. Done. Over with. Let me tell you, friends, cancel culture is dangerous. Two times in this past week, twice here in the city of Houston. an individual offended someone else on the road by the way they were driving. And the offended person took out a gun and took the offender's life, canceled them permanently. That's what cancel culture ultimately leads to. Not only do I not forgive you, I eliminate you. I erase you. You're not worthy of my forgiveness. Friends, Jesus knew nothing of cancel culture. The only thing Jesus canceled was sin. And by canceling sin, he opens the door for us to move past it and to step into places of receiving forgiveness for our sin and extending forgiveness to others. So this morning, let's talk about this gift called forgiveness. Two aspects, of course. There is the receiving, the asking for it, and receiving forgiveness, and then there is the giving of it to others. Both are challenging. However, I would argue that on the whole, the receiving part is just a bit easier, because anytime forgiveness is extended, there's a price to be paid. There's always a cost with forgiveness. Somebody has to absorb some measure of pain or discomfort or inconvenience for forgiveness to happen. And the receiver, of course, is expecting that that's what the giver will do. So by and large, receiving is a bit easier. But I notice that there is still within our hearts a reluctance to ask for it. A reluctance to ask for it from God and a reluctance to ask for it from one another. And I think that that reluctance can be summed up in a single phrase. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. In our relationship with God, we think to ourselves, I don't deserve this because I am not worthy. Lord, how many times have I come over and over and over for the same sin, for the umpteenth time, asking for your forgiveness? I've promised you over and over, I'd never do that again, and yet here I stand once more guilty. Lord, I am not worthy. I'm ashamed to ask. I've had people sit in my office and tell me, Pastor Dan, you don't know what I have done. You can't begin to imagine what I have done. God would never forgive me for the horrible, horrible things that I have done. I am not worthy. The fact of the matter is, friends, we aren't worthy. We're not worthy of forgiveness. Not a single one of us. But thanks be to God, our forgiveness does not depend upon our worthiness. Our forgiveness is dependent upon one thing and one thing only, and that is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Love. Love sends forgiveness freely, with no cost to us, but the highest possible cost to Him. Don't ever think that you come asking God for forgiveness because you deserve it, because you don't. But don't ever avoid asking God for forgiveness because you think you don't deserve it. There's not going to be a day in our lives, not a single day in our lives, when we don't need forgiveness, but there's not going to be a single day ever when He won't give it. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, the word confess simply means to agree. To agree. Lord, I confess, I agree with you that what I did was wrong, what I said, what I thought, the way I behaved was wrong. We enter into agreement with God. And when He sees the condition of our heart, that we own our sin, that we take responsibility for it, forgiveness is always forthcoming to us. Always. in our relationships with each other, that very same phrase pops up. I don't deserve this. But it comes with a slightly different inflection. When we're saying it to God, we say, I don't deserve this because I'm not worthy. But far too often with one another, we say, I don't deserve this because you're not worthy. Why should I have to humble myself before you? You're a sinner just like me. Several months ago, I was flying home from India, and it was one of the longest journeys home I have made from that country. It was in excess of 30 hours to get here with all of the layovers. The last leg was the worst, 16 hours from Doha to Houston. I was seated by the window, and bless his heart, in the middle seat was a guy about 6'6" and every bit of 350 pounds. He was a massive human being. As a result, I rode 16 hours like this. And I could hardly blame the guy. Not his fault that he happens to be a huge human being, but it was no fun. And on top of that, the food on this particular flight was just atrocious. It was terrible. I've never been so happy to hit the runway at Bush and get off of an airplane. And as soon as I got in the car, Becky's there to pick me up. I'm telling her all about, gosh, the flight was long and it was terrible. I was scrunched. And the food was just awful. And I'm thinking to myself, as I'm saying this to her, she is probably thinking, oh gosh, that was awful. That was terrible. You know what? I'm going to just take you to an amazing restaurant and make sure all of your needs are met. But as we're driving home, restaurant, they're zooming right by us, and we're not slowing down or turning our blinker on at all. And we finally get home. We pull up in the driveway. Take my bags in. I say, honey, what have we got to eat? She said, I haven't been to the grocery store this week. I said, are you kidding me? Really? Didn't you hear everything that I just said to you about how lousy this trip was, about how terrible the food was, and what I get is no restaurant and nothing in the pantry? Really? You can imagine how that went over. She said, are you feeling a little hangry? Is that really the way to speak to me, Pastor Dan? I'm thinking to myself, okay, I know I've blown it. And I know the right thing to do is to apologize and ask for forgiveness. But I don't deserve this. And you know why I was saying I don't deserve it? Because I'm telling myself I'm the one that always has to ask for forgiveness. When's it going to be her turn to ask for forgiveness? Yet we don't like humility. We don't like having to place ourselves before someone in a vulnerable spot and own up to the fact that I'm broken. I'm sinful, and I need your forgiveness. But when that forgiveness comes our way, there's really only one response, one biblical response, and that is to turn and give forgiveness away. Forgive as you have been forgiven in Christ Jesus. Now, this side of the equation, the asking is challenging, but the giving, that's where things get really hard. And I wouldn't want you for a single moment, because I know some of you who can hear my voice have been hurt in the most horrible of ways. And I wouldn't want you to think for a single minute that giving forgiveness to someone else is easy, or that there's some magic formula, or that just because we call ourselves Christian, we should be able to do it. No, I have sat with enough people who have been wounded in the most terrible sorts of ways to know there is a price to pay. There is always a price to pay. And so please hear me well. When I share with you the biblical message that we must forgive, I do so only on the basis of God's word, because Jesus tells us to. And if Jesus tells us to do something, we can do it. Because Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done, and Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he won't empower us to do. Everything Jesus calls upon us to do, he offers the ability, the strength, the wherewithal to follow him in obedience. And while there are no simple ways to go about it, I think we can see a pattern in Jesus' life, a pattern that we can begin to make a part of our own lives as we seek to be forgiving just as we have been forgiven. And the first part of that pattern is to acknowledge that you've been hurt, to acknowledge the pain, to not sweep it under the rug, to not deny it, to not pretend like, oh, it's okay, you didn't mean it, it's all right, it's not that bad. That's not what Jesus did. No, Jesus acknowledged that he was going to be hurt and killed because of our sin. In Mark chapter 8, he's with his disciples and he tells them, fellas, a day is coming when I'm going to be betrayed. And the chief priests and the rulers and the elders are going to turn against me, and they're going to kill me because of your sin. Peter didn't want him to acknowledge that. Peter's like, no, Lord, that would never happen to you. God forbid. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm here because of sin. I'm here because of your sin and the sin of the world. I know that and I understand that. And if we're going to step into the fullness of forgiveness for other people, the starting place is to own that we have been hurt. Now, some of you might think, well, isn't that rather self-evident? Shouldn't you? Actually, it's not. You would be surprised at the number of people who like to pretend that they are not hurt, as if some sort of false bravado is going to protect them from the building resentment that invariably grows inside. Others are quite willing to acknowledge that they've been hurt, but that's where they stop. And they spend the rest of their lives acknowledging to anyone who will listen, I've been hurt. And they never get past that. Becky and I have a friend, elderly. He's been hurt along the way, no doubt about it. And he's acknowledged to anyone who will listen just how hurt he has been. But he's never been willing to step past that acknowledgement to the second part of the pattern, which is to absorb the pain. There is a cost to forgiveness. In 2 Corinthians, Paul makes the most astonishing theological statement. He who knew no sin became sin for our forgiveness. Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, the one who never committed a single sin, absorbed all of the sin of the world into himself and paid the price, a price that we deserve to pay. And the cross stands before us as an eternal example of what we must do if we are going to fully forgive. Let's not kid ourselves. Whether it's a financial loss or a betrayal or the loss of our reputation or an inconvenience or whatever the case may be, if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to pay a price. But it's a price worth paying. Because Jesus came to this world not only to forgive us of our sins, but to make us just like Him. That's why we step into this thing called Christianity, to become like Jesus. And if we're not willing to pay the price, we're going to make the other person pay it. And that's called revenge. And revenge has no place in the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who seek revenge are not on their way to becoming like Jesus. Again, let me emphasize, that's a tall order for some of you, a very tall order. And I'm not suggesting that the absorption of the pain happens all at once. Some of us have been hurt and wounded so deeply that it's a lifelong process of deciding day after day after day, though it goes completely against my flesh, though it goes completely against the grain of what I want to do today, I choose to pay the price. I choose to be like Jesus. And I trust Him that He's only got my very best at heart when He asks me to do something so, so hard. We acknowledge that we've been hurt. We absorb the pain. And then finally, we absolve the guilty party. We absolve them. The Oxford Dictionary says that to absolve is to declare someone free and clear of responsibility. In the words of that famous philosopher Elsa, we let it go. Because here's the thing, friends. If we don't let it go, it will never let us go. It will remain with us for the remainder of our days. And like a ball and chain that we drag through each miserable day, it will grow larger and larger and larger as the resentment and the bitterness overtakes us. Jesus calls us to forgive because He knows what will happen to our hearts if we don't. They shrivel. They die. Carrie Fisher said once, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Yeah, forgiveness is a gift. It's a gift to receive it, and it's a gift to give it. It's a gift to receive it because God, in His mercy, declares us not guilty. It's a gift to receive it from other people because we maintain our relationships through the power of forgiveness. It is a gift to be able to give it away. Because in the giving away, in the following of the footsteps of Jesus, we become like Him and our hearts grow. And we're changed from the inside out. Some of you are here today and you've never experienced or understood the necessity of forgiving other people because you've never been the recipient of God's forgiveness. And that forms the basis of it all. Jesus is the source of all forgiveness. And it's only because He has first forgiven us that we can forgive others. Perhaps today is the day that you need to step into that relationship with Him and for the very first time receive His full and free forgiveness so that you might fully and freely give it away to others. There are others of us here today who have received that gift. We know Jesus. We found forgiveness in Him perhaps years ago, but for some reason, when it comes to this person, this particular situation, we just cannot take that step of faith. And that's what it is. It's saying to Jesus, I trust you. It seems stupid. It seems pointless. But because you have asked me to do it, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to forgive. And believing that Jesus knows what He's talking about. If you're one of those persons today, I want us to take a moment and pray. I want us all in this Christmas season to experience the fullness of the gift that only Jesus could bring, the forgiveness of our souls and the privilege of giving that forgiveness away. Would you pray with me? Lord, there's not a single one of us that can stand before You and claim innocence. None of us. We have all done and said and thought things that have been hurtful, that have been devastating in some cases to other people, and certainly against You. If you're one of those persons who's never received Jesus' forgiveness before, ask Him right now. Simply say, Lord, I own it. I agree. I confess. Would You please cleanse me? And if you're one of those who knows the Lord, but you're holding back in this one area, cry out for His grace. His mercy, His strength to do what He calls all of us to do. Your situation is not unique. We all stand guilty. We all need forgiveness, and we all must give it away. Oh God, would You open our hearts to these truths and make them realities? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.